This just in, we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Damage here along the Gulf Coast is catastrophic. There's a frantic effort underway tonight to find survivors. There are an uncounted number of the dead tonight.
We're also getting reports this morning of an explosion, a bomb explosion, in Russell Square. Some eyewitnesses say it was in a litter bin, and some eyewitnesses also say that it blew the top off a bus. And Scotland Yard have now confirmed that there was an explosion in Russell Square.
Welcome to Perilous Times with your host, Martin Banner. We are now living in perilous times, and we study the Word of God each week to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. We teach on prophetic events and study what the Scriptures say about the last days, the tribulation period, and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We support body ministry, which comes through born-again Christian believers who are filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Now come join us as we get into the Word of God and hear what God is saying to the church in this hour, in these perilous times.
And the sons of Issachar were known as men who understood and discerned the times they were living in and knew what they were supposed to do in Israel. Do we? There is no doubt we're living at the very end of the age when Jesus told us that he would return. The signs of the times are all around us. Earthquakes, famine, pestilence, wars and rumors of wars, distress of nations, economic turmoil, the proliferation of the wickedness in society and culture, false religion and the harlot church, signs and wonders in the sky, and deception everywhere. We are truly living in perilous times in these last days. And we may not know the day or the hour when Jesus comes, but he clearly said that we could know the season. We're children of the light, and that day shall not take us by surprise. So when you see all these things converging in the world, my friends, look up. Our redemption draws near. So we invite you to go online to perilloustimes.com and join us not only to understand and discern the times we are living in, but to find out how we are to walk, the faith that we're to keep, and what we are to do as we approach the coming of the Lord and the end of all things. You're not alone in your struggle to survive in these perilous times. God is still on the throne and in control, and we are here too as your family and as your friends to help you stay focused on this truth, that no matter how bad it gets, or how it seems that evil is triumphing, we've read the last chapter, and we win. PerilousTimes.com, because the light overcomes the darkness, and the good news still speaks louder than the bad.
Well, welcome to Perilous Times. And this week, our message, Swordless Christianity, User-friendly, but twice dead. Well, beloved, go get your iPads, your notebooks, whatever you're going to take notes with. We have a great study this week. We're going to look into the Word of God. We're going to look at what Jesus said about the church. And before we get started in our study, we're going to start in a quick word of prayer. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would anoint my tongue as I speak forth the word of God. Father, we ask right now that you anoint the ears of the hearers that they might hear and understand the word of God, and that it would go down deep into good soil, that it would bring forth much fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, that your word would go forth as a sharp two-edged sword, dividing that which is soulish from that which is spirit, and that your word would not return void, but it would accomplish everything you sent it forth to do. And Father, we ask it in the name above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so be it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, beloved, this week, the message, Swordless Christianity. Okay, we're going to start with our key scripture reference in Matthew. I'm in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, King James Version. The Word of God says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Okay, so our message this week, swordless Christianity. User-friendly, but twice dead. Well, beloved, we look at the Word of God here in Matthew chapter 10, and what is the Lord proclaiming? He's saying that there is a Christianity that will bring a sword, that will bring a sword in a household, that will bring division between those who are serving Christ and those who do not know the Lord. It'll bring a division between those who are on fire for Christ and those who are backslidden. It'll bring a division between those who are in the world and those who have separated from the world. Now that's what Jesus said. He said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace. But no, I have come to send a sword. Think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And that sword should be a sign of those who are following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take a look in many scriptures here. And what we see going on out there in the world today, we're seeing rather than a church and a gospel that produces this sword in the believer's life, we are seeing that in the believer's life there is many people that are friends with the world, friends with those that are lost sinners, friends with their family members that are backslidden, those who are not serving Christ. And there doesn't seem to be any sword or any division that Jesus said would be there, that he came to bring this sword. So we're seeing in modern Christianity today that we have a gospel that produces this swordless Christianity. But Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father." It says father will be against son. "And the daughter against her mother." It says that mother will be against daughter. "And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household." Well, beloved, let me ask you, do you see that sword in your household? Do you see that sword in your family? Do you see that sword in your home? And where we should see peace is when we are all in unity in the faith, those who are led by the Spirit of God and those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're away from that unity and that walking in the Spirit, Jesus said that there would be a sword, there would be division, there would be enemies within the household. But this user-friendly church that we see in North America, that does not produce the sword that Jesus spoke about. You will not see that sword in most churches today, because they do not preach the gospel that was once delivered. They do not preach the word of God in its fullness. They do not preach the truth to the people, but rather they do tickle men's ears. They tell people what they want to hear rather than what God is saying. And beloved, it's very important in this hour that we hear what God is saying. What God is saying to you and to me. What God is saying to his people. What God is saying to his bride, his church. But beloved, we've seen that lately there's just a real apostasy taking over most of the church. There's a great falling away, a great apostasy taking place. And many are falling away, many are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. And we're going to take a look at some other scriptures. And one of the things we see is a user-friendly church arising, a seeker-sensitive church, where there is a swordless Christianity. The Christianity that they practice does not produce this sword that Jesus said he brought upon the earth, but rather it produces a Christianity where the so-called Christian or believer can be friends with the world, friends with the lost, friends with sinners, friends with backslidden relatives, friends with people who do not know God, friends with all of their family members who are not serving Christ. They do not have a sword. They all get along, and there's great peace between them because there is no testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me read some scriptures to you. We're in James chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, this user-friendly church produces friendship with the world. It's a worldly, carnal, a seeker-sensitive, user-friendly experience, and it produces a convert that is friends with the world, but the scriptures say those who are friends with the world are the enemies of God. Enemies of God, rather than enemies within the household. Now, Jesus said, "A man's foes shall be they of his own household, or his own family, or among his own friends." I know plenty of Christians, and myself included, when I got saved, many friends decided they did not want anything to do with my Christianity. And that's true to anyone who is a true disciple of Christ. Those who do not know Christ will not want to hang around with someone who's on fire for the Lord. But this seeker-sensitive, user-friendly church that's dead and twice plucked up at the roots, this church produces friendship with the world. Now, let's look at what God says again. James chapter 4, verse 4, King James Version. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Now, God's saying if you can be friends with this world, that you're at enmity with God. And it goes on to say, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, brethren, do you want to be the enemy of God, or do you want the world to be at enmity with you? Jesus said, "A man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household if he's serving me." But here it says that to be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. You can only have it one way or the other. If you're serving Christ and you're on fire for the Lord and you're preaching the truth, the Word of God says that you will be enemies with the world, and even your own members of your own household will be enemies with you, those members who are not serving Christ. There'll be a sword, a division, and that's what Jesus said he came to set. Listen again to the scripture, Matthew chapter 10. And again, this is not my word. This is the Word of God. I'm quoting to you the scriptures. Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 36. "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth." Now, this is Jesus speaking. "I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now, he's talking about division. The sword is division within a family, within a home, with among friends. He says, "For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household, or his own family, or his own friends." This is the sword that Jesus said he came to bring. Now, anyone who's a true disciple of Christ will have that sword in their life. But yet, I see a church. I see a user-friendly, twice-dead, plucked-up-at-the-roots, swordless Christianity in North America that produces a convert that does not have this sword, that does not have this division between them and the world, between them and their unsaved loved ones, between them and the backslidden Christians. That sword is not there. It's a swordless Christianity, so to speak. How many of you, beloved, know out there a people who it's a swordless Christianity? And what do they do with their time? Rather than spend it in the prayer closet with Jesus, rather than spend it in the Word of God, seeking God and seeking out the treasures and the riches of His Word? No, they spend their time chatting back and forth and gossiping, and they spend their time with what? The world. And what? Their unsaved loved ones. And what? Their backslidden friends and their backslidden backslidden family. There is no sword. It is a swordless Christianity. There is no division. But yet hear the words of the Savior. Hear the words of the King of Kings. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 36. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I have not come to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking here about a man's foes, a man's enemies being those of his own household, those of his own family, those of his own friends. Yes, God said that he would bring a sword. True Christianity produces that sword. If you do not have that sword in your life, if you are practicing a swordless Christianity, know this, that your false religious system will not save you in the day of judgment, in the day of God's wrath, in the day that you stand before God and give account. Your swordless Christianity has no power to save you. Your user-friendly, seeker-sensitive church has no power to save you. Your false religious system, your harlot Christianity, cannot save you. No. It cannot. The only Christianity that can save you is what Jesus Christ came preaching, and that is he said that he did not come to send peace on earth. He talked about a sword. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Yes, you know, when I got saved, I know I had a sword in my family. There was a sword there. There was division. There was division because I was serving Jesus Christ. I repented. I was a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. But yet my family members were still walking in their Adamic nature. They were still serving the devil. They were still doing things that were ungodly and wicked. They were still serving the prince of the air, and the God of this world, who is their father, the devil. See, everyone is born under the sin of Adam. And until you're born again of your Father in heaven, you're serving the God of this world, your father, the devil. Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, and he said that you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. Yes, you either have God as your father or the devil is your father. You can't serve God and mammon. You either are sold out for Jesus Christ or you're friends with the world. And I'm going to tell you that your swordless Christianity will not save you. It will not redeem you. It will not bring you to repentance. Now, beloved, Jesus said very clearly that it was his will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus also said, he said in the Word of God, he said that unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hallelujah. You know, some people like to quote the scriptures about how, you know, how merciful God is and how God, if you take, for example, the woman that was caught in adultery and they wanted to stone her. And God said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And of course, they dropped the stones. Why? Because it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Lord was trying to bring this woman to a place of repentance. Now, notice what Jesus said. Notice what Jesus said to the woman. He said, where are thine accusers? Now he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You know, now this is not a message we're hearing in the church. We're not hearing the message, go and sin no more. No, we have a swordless Christianity where the church is friends with the world, where the church is now spending much of their time on Facebook. And what do? Well, they all talk about their different families and many of them that are not saved. They talk about their backslidden friends. They talk about their friends who do not know Christ. And it's amazing how they all get along. They can get along with the world. They can get along with the sinners. They can get along with the people in their family who do not know Christ. You do not see the sword. The sword's not there. So, beloved, I ask you, do you have a sword in your home? Is your Christianity the Christianity that Christ came upon the earth to bring? Does it bring division between you and the lost? Does it bring a separation between you and those who hate God? Does it bring a separation between you who are on fire for Christ and those who are backslidden and worldly and have turned as a sow back to the mud and mire, or as a dog back to its vomit? The scriptures say that many of them will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It talks about a great apostasy, a great falling away. It talks about them turning back to their vomit as a dog would turn back. The Apostle Paul spoke about those who love this present world, having turned away from Christ to go back to this present world. They love this present world. Now, beloved, the Word of God is clear that you cannot serve mammon and God. You cannot love this world. This world is represented by mammon. You know, many of them, they talk about this prosperity gospel. What do they want? They want prosperity. They want wealth. They want riches in their life. They want to have success in this life. A user-friendly church that does not produce the sword Jesus spoke about. What are the symptoms? Let's look at the symptoms of this seeker-sensitive church, this swordless Christianity, user-friendly but twice dead. What are the symptoms? Well, number one, it's worldly. This type of church, this false religious system, this harlot Christianity is worldly. It loves the world's fashion. It loves the world's fads. It loves the world's success. You know, Jesus said you must deny yourself. He didn't say to live your best life here. No, Jesus said that in this life you shall have tribulation. Jesus said in this life you will be persecuted. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall receive persecution. He didn't say you're going to have your best life here. He said you must deny yourself and pick up the cross and come and follow me. In fact, the Word of God says he who tries to save his life will lose it. Yeah, you know, Satan, he wants to offer you your best life here. Live out your life here. Seek after your life. The scripture says if you try to save your life in this world, you will lose it. But the Word of God says that if you lose your life for his sake, for Christ's sake, then you will find eternal life, the true riches. And that is what God spoke about when he said, I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. When the Lord Jesus Christ offers abundant life, it is not a life in this world seeking worldly success, the world's fashions, the world's fads, and the world's wealth and riches. No, it is the abundant life of eternal life, the riches of Christ Jesus. It is the life that is eternal, that where moth and rust cannot eat away, where thief cannot break in and steal. It is not the prosperity and wealth that the wicked pursue. But yet we see all kinds of ministries preaching a gospel of great success and great wealth. You can have your best life. Oh yeah, and you can, and God wants you rich and success driven. So symptom number one, it's worldly. Symptom number two of this swordless Christianity, it's success driven. They chase after wealth and riches of this world. But God says in his word that you cannot serve God and mammon. And what is mammon? It's talking about riches. It's talking about wealth. It's talking about what they call the bling bling. It's this in this world, they're going after that all that glitters is gold, is what Satan says. But this glitter that they're after is the way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is the way of death. There is no life in pursuing the world, mammon, the world's success, the world's riches, the world's popularity, the world's fashion. It is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And beloved, I tell you, the life that Christ is holding out is eternal life. Has nothing to do with the success of this world, but has everything to do with denying yourself, picking up the cross, and following after Christ Jesus, crucifying the flesh, and following after the Lord, preaching the true gospel. And Jesus said, when you do that, he says, think not that I had come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. There will be a sword in your house. There will be a sword in your family. There will be a sword among your friends. If there is that love for Christ, if you're a disciple, if you have that burning desire to serve Jesus, you're going to see this sword in your life. But if you're a lukewarm, user-friendly, seeker-sensitive disciple, well, you will not have a sword. You have what I call a swordless Christianity. That's our modern Christianity today. I tell you, Christians spend more time on Facebook than they do in the prayer closet and in the Word of God added together. They spend more time on their Facebook and on TV watching the satanic television. And what is television but an altar erected to Satan? If you look at what's on television, I mean, we have Christians that are watching soap operas, that are watching the world, that are watching adulterous affairs, that are watching people cheat on each other, that are entertained by people cheating, committing adultery, fornicating, sexual perversion, and then they go and talk about it back and forth. These busybody women who think they're Christians, but they're nothing but tools of Satan, and they talk about their soap operas. They talk about all their things they have going with their parties, and they try to emulate the world. And they have a certain tradition. They have a tradition, but they don't have the power of God. They can't cast out a demon. They can't pray for the sick and see the power of God heal. They can't even move in the gifts of the Spirit. They can't even, most of them, speak in tongues. But yet they say that they're Christians and that they're following Christ, but they're following after of the world and the ways of the world, and what they have has become a modern swordless Christianity. It is of the world. It is sensual. It is carnal. It is worldly. What are the symptoms we're looking at that is a swordless Christianity? Well, the symptoms, number one, it's worldly. World's fashion, world's fads, world's success. Number two, it's success driven. Chasing after the world's success, wealth, and riches. Number three, it's carnal, it's sensual, and many of them, I have looked around and seen many marriages have failed. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I go on Facebook, and it scares me what I see, beloved. And I'm challenging now. We are on Facebook with the ministry, and that's to reach souls for Christ. But I tell you, we don't go on Facebook and chit-chat about this or that. We don't go on there and dig up relationships from the past. No, we're on Facebook to reach souls. Hallelujah. And If you go on our Facebook, what you're going to see, you click on the people that are on there that are friends of our ministry, you're going to see a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see people who are lifting up Jesus. You're going to see people that are preaching the gospel. You're going to see people that are denying themselves, picking up the cross, and following after Christ, and they have a testimony, and God is moving in their lives. It's not a worldly, carnal, sensual, user-friendly, seeker-sensitive church, a harlot Christianity. No, it's not twice dead, plucked up by the roots. No, it's not a swordless Christianity. No, they're carrying a sword. The sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you look on our Facebook and you go and you click on some of the people that are involved with our ministry, you're going to see that many of them have a sword right on their Facebooks. They'll see that sword of the Spirit. Many of them are using that symbol. You'll see them standing with a giant sword. You'll see symbols of swords. You'll see the Bible, the Word of God. You'll hear them preaching the gospel. You'll see them testifying. And what there is something happening, beloved. There is something happening. There is a great falling away. I tell you, beloved, you better listen to me, because many of you are in it. I have gone, I've looked at Facebook accounts from hundreds and hundreds of Christians I knew from the past. I was involved in many ministries, many churches, and beloved, I've gone on their Facebooks. I've looked at their lives. I've examined. I've looked for the testimony of Christ, and I've wept. I have wept over what I have seen. I have wept over the condition of their household, the condition that their children are in, the condition that their churches are in, the condition that their families are in. I have wept over what I have seen. And beloved, I tell you that there is a false Christianity arising, an apostate religious system. The Word of God says there will come a great falling away from the faith. I look at people who once preached the gospel who are now going to Grateful Dead concerts. I looked at people who once preached the gospel that are talking about Woodstock and things from the past, like a dog returning to its vomit. I looked at people that once were on fire for Christ that are now, they're They're religious. They're friends with the world. They are now no longer serving God. They are no longer have the testimony. They're not on fire for Christ. But yet Jesus said, I would rather have you hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my body. I will reject you. Let me tell you, when your body vomits something out, it rejects it. It's being rejected. It's being spewed out. It's being thrown out. Beloved, you don't want to end up in that condition. Hallelujah. You don't want to end up being that which is vomited out of Christ's body. And we're looking at this message this week, swordless Christianity. What is happening to the church in North America? Well, beloved, I tell you, we're right in the midst of the great apostasy, the great falling away. And one of the marks of this falling away is a Christianity that does not produce a sword in the believer's life. There is no sword there. They can go to parties. They can go to beaches. They can go to movie theaters. They can go and fellowship with the world. They can go and play their rock and roll music. They can go and dress like the world. They can act like the world. They can sin and do whatever they want and say that they're under grace. But I tell you, it's all a massive lie. It's a deception. The Word of God says that straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few, beloved, few there be that find it. It talks about broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, many, many shall go therein. I tell you, beloved, many of you out there think you're saved, think you're on your way in the kingdom, and you're going to split hell wide open unless you repent and get out of this great apostasy, unless you get that sword back in your life, unless you are on fire for Christ and you repent of your lukewarmness, unless you repent of your worldliness. Many of you are going to miss the mark. You're going to miss the prize. The Word of God is clear. You know, Paul talked about it's not he who starts the race who gets the prize. See, many of you have been lied to. You're told that you're eternally secure, that you can't lose your salvation. You're being lied to. Paul himself talked about being a castaway, lest he himself be a castaway. Paul himself said that it's not he who starts the race who gets the prize, but he who finishes the race. You got to finish this race, beloved, and you got to finish it in faith. You got to finish it well. And beloved, many, I look around, they're being overcome by the world. I see young people. I look at people I once knew with their children covered with tattoos, and they're going to church claiming they're Christian and saved. They got tattoos on their bodies covered, some of them covered with demonic tattoos. Many of them playing rock music, listening to the world's music, friends with the world, no sword in their life, practicing this swordless Christianity, this apostate religion, and thinking that they're saved when they're hellbound and about to split hell wide open, thinking that they're right with God when they're trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. And beloved, it says in Hebrews chapter 10 that if you sin willfully, there's no more sacrifice for your sin but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. It talks about having trodden underfoot the Son of God and doing despite to the Spirit of grace. Yes, Hebrews chapter 10 says you can do despite to the Spirit of grace. Oh yes it does. Paul also said that many have fallen from grace. You can fall from grace. You can do despite to the Spirit of grace. You can sin away the day of grace. There is a line you can cross. And I'm telling you, just think about this, beloved. If eternal security were the truth, how could you have a great apostasy where many depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons? It could not be so, beloved. If you could not lose your salvation, you could not have an apostasy. You could not have masses amount of people falling away from the faith, departing from Christ. It couldn't be so. But you know what? It is so. And if you look around, when I look around and I see people listening to the world's music, I see them friends with the world. Let me read again what the Word of God says. Here it is. And you know what? I'm going to preach this message. I'm going to lift up my voice like a trumpet, and I'm going to sound an alarm to God's people, and I'm going to tell them to repent, for it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, if you think you can be an enemy of God and that you're going in the kingdom of God, you are under strong delusion. You are deceived. You cannot be an enemy of God and go into the kingdom of God. And the word talks about, Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter into my Father's kingdom, but only he who does the Father's will. Only he who does the Father's will. There was a group of people that came to Jesus and they said, Lord, Lord. And he turns around to him. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal the sick? Because he says to him, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I do not know you. Why? Because they were part of this apostasy. They turned around and said, look, we prophesied in your name. We did great and mighty works in your name. We served you. We did these mighty works. What do you mean you don't know us? How about the sheep and the goats? They say, Lord, Lord. I mean, they know Jesus is Lord. They recognize him as Lord. Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and not feed you? When did we see you in prison and not visit you? And then he said, when you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Many of you, you've departed from ministry. You've departed from your calling. Everyone is called to minister. Everyone is called. If you're not doing something for God, I'm telling you, Jesus came back. He took the one that had the one talent. And he said, take that talent, take that away from that wicked, slothful servant and give it to the one who has five talents, who received five more. Give it to him and take that unprofitable servant and appoint him a place with outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's thrown into hell. He's rejected. And he was a person waiting. He was a servant waiting for the return of his master. Yeah, he was a believer. But what did he do? He did nothing for the Lord. He was slothful. He was wicked. He was friends with the world. He was practicing this user-friendly, swordless Christianity. My question to you, beloved, are you practicing swordless Christianity today? Beloved, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in 1 minute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A vile, enormous dragon with heads and horns and crowns, and a tail that swept the stars from heaven and cruelly cast them down.
Hello, my name is Martin Banner, and as we see the dragon, the beast with seven heads and ten horns rising worldwide, and the spirit of Antichrist uniting this world system, be sure to stay informed as we send out prophetic words and teachings on www.perilloustimes.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive prophecies, dreams, and visions of the last days in these perilous times.
The power and the kingdom of God, for the dragon is defeated by the word and the blood of the
Welcome back, everyone. Our message this week, swordless Christianity. Yes, swordless Christianity, user-friendly, but twice dead. I tell you, beloved, I've been on a lot of Facebook accounts. I've looked around. I encourage everyone to come on our Facebook. You'll go check out what we're doing. You know, our Facebook, it's facebook.com/perilous times. That's facebook.com/perilous times. And you will see, and go check out our friends of our ministry, and you're going to see a people that are separated from the world. You're going to see a people that have that sword in their life. They got that testimony. You're going to see a people lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they're not watching soap operas and gossiping back and forth and having fun with the world and hanging out on, you know, on beaches and in movie theaters and doing everything the world does. No, they're a people separated unto Christ Jesus. They're a people that are serving God, and there are people that are looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're watching and ready. Another example was these 10 virgins. Five of them were wise, five were foolish. Well, who were the five foolish? They were those who were practicing this swordless Christianity. They were user-friendly, seeker-sensitive, a carnal, worldly church. And what happened? Well, the Lord came, the bridegroom came, and they had not enough oil, and they were not ready, and he shut the door in their face, and he said, depart from me. I don't know you. Oh, they were virgins. They were Christians. They had the lamps, the light of the gospel. They even had oil. They had some oil. They just didn't have enough. What were they? They were backslidden Christians who were worldly, carnal, part of the apostate church, and they were rejected by Christ. Go read it. It's in your Bible. You know, I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. I'm not here to lie to you. I'm not here to tickle your ears. Some of you people don't understand. They say, I'm pleading with you to return to Christ before you end up in hell, because that's where most of you are going. And you don't want to hear that message. No, you want to say, oh, I'm right with God. Well, I'll give you plenty of accounts. We're going to do a message about those hell-bound but thinking they're saved. Hell-bound but thinking they're saved. And you just stay tuned in, and we'll preach the Word of God to you. I promise you this. We will preach the Word to you, and we'll tell you the truth. Now, you may think that we're your enemy. You may think that I don't love you. I don't whatever. But you know what? There's no one who loves you more than the one who will get in your face and tell you the condition you're in and tell you to repent and get right with God. Because Jesus is coming real soon. My friends, if you look around at this world, and if you can't see the darkness, and if you can't see the conditions and all the signs that Jesus spoke about, they're all present today. All the signs are there. Jesus is coming very soon. We're heading into a one-world government, just as the Word of God says. They're going to have a world leader, the Antichrist, and very soon we're going to have the mark of the beast, the microchip. And I tell you, you're all facing that, and you ain't going to get no secret little rapture to take you out of here, sweetie. It ain't going to happen. You can keep watching your soap operas. You can keep going to your beaches. You can keep hanging out with the world. You can go to your movie theaters. You can play your rock music. You can do whatever you want to do. But Jesus is coming, and he ain't making no exceptions for you or for anyone else. He ain't going to make any exceptions. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And he's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Or he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. It's going to be one or the other. And I'm here telling you, get ready. Jesus is coming. See, I love you enough. We have tens of thousands of people listening. And, you know, we just did a message online, just online. I mean, we're on a lot of radio stations. Just on an online radio, we had almost 10,000 people download the message. Perilous times have come. There are people all over the world coming on our website. The other day, we had almost 2,000 new visitors in one day. We had people coming from all over the world. Even the lost can see that we're at the end of the age. There are people who don't know Christ who are more open to the truth than those who are going to the churches in North America. Let me testify to you, beloved, that there are people all over the world that do not know the Lord that are more awake than you people in these dead churches. And I'm especially speaking to the churches back in New York where I grew up, where I lived, because I know many of these people, and I have looked at their Facebooks, I have looked at and examined their churches, I have looked at what's going on, and it grieves me. No, you know what would make me happy? Would make me happy to see you all on fire for Christ. That would make me happy. You know what would make me happy? To see you all repent, stand up, and say, I'm going to serve God with everything. I'm kicking that altar to Satan out of my house. You know, about 16 years ago, we took that altar to Satan. I wrapped it around a tree. Actually, it's about more like 18 years. And, you know, this television, this portal to hell is what it is. Look, take a look at it. You put it, you erect it like an altar in your living room, and you all sit around it, and then you worship the devil who's on there. You watch his filth. You watch his fornication, his adultery, his perversion, his violence, his murder, his rape, his blasphemy. And then you erect that in the center of your living room, and you give homage to Satan, and you bring Satan in your house, and you sit down, and then you offer up your children at that altar to Satan to be sacrificed to the God of this world, and then you wonder why they're not serving Christ. Well, I'll tell you why they're not serving Christ, because you sacrificed them at an altar to Satan called the television a long time ago. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's time to repent. And if you don't like what I'm saying, guess what? I'm going to be saying a lot more of it. And you know what? I'm doing what God called me to do. Are you? Are you doing what God called you to do? I'm doing exactly what God called me to do. The things I'm doing now were prophesied over me many years ago, specific words from the Lord. I'm doing what God called me to do. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that there are many out there, you need to repent. You need to get back on fire for Christ. And I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm just telling you where it is at. I'm telling you Jesus is coming very soon. And I'm telling you it's time to get ready, get your life in order, make your calling and election sure, get back to your first love, get back in the Word of God, turn that filthy television off, get separated from the world, get on your knees, and start serving Christ, and do it quickly before it's too late for you. Now, does that mean I'm condemning you? I am warning you out of love. You see, I don't have to warn you. Many of these people that I'm speaking to right now have betrayed me, and many people have spoken evil and lies and false accusations against me. Yet I still walk in the love of God. I still pray for them. I still get on my knee. I still weep over. I still intercede. I still am grieved over their condition. But you know what? I'm going to tell all of you out there, I cannot make you repent. I can admonish you. I can call you to repent. But I cannot force you to serve Christ. That is between you and God. But I'm bringing the word. You're practicing a swordless Christianity. That's why you get along with your unsaved friends. That's why you get along with your unsaved loved ones. That's why you get along with your unsaved family. That's why you get along with all the backsliders. That's why your user-friendly church is twice dead and plucked up at the roots. Now, I'm telling you the truth. What you do with it is between you and God. But I'll tell you what I believe God is saying. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to put away childish things. It is time to get ready because the hour is late. It is late and Jesus is coming. And where are you going to stand on the day when he shows up? When you stand before God, what are you going to do when you give account for every word you've spoken and every deed you've done? Is he going to say, good and well done, thou faithful servant? Are you going to be found to be one who denied yourself and picked up the cross and followed Christ? Are you going to be one who lost your life for Jesus and found that eternal life, that life abundant? Or are you going to be one who tried to save your life with this world, who practiced a swordless Christianity where you got along with all the lost friends and all the lost people and you just fit in just fine and you backslid and you fornicated and you did this and you did that? Well, you know, which is it going to be? Are you going to have eternal life or are you going to have eternal damnation? The Word of God says that no fornicator shall enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is serious, beloved, what's happening with this apostasy. It's very serious. Oh, yeah. We're looking at massive amounts of people being overtaken with some kind of spirit where they can no longer discern even their condition with God. They don't even know where they're at with God. They don't pray anymore. They don't read the Bible anymore. But they have plenty of time for TV and movies. And they have plenty of time for entertainment. And what is it that entertains them? Well, the traditions of men, the doctrines of men, the worldly carnality, the movies. Is there life in this world that they pursue? No. No. You can have men promise you your best life. Exactly what Satan's offering. He's promising you to preserve your life in this world. And you know what? It isn't going to cut it, beloved. No. No, you're either going to deny this world and receive Christ, or you're going to deny Christ and you're going to walk in this world. It's one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't pursue success and prosperity. You got to pursue Christ. I mean, there's warning after warning, and we've given them in Timothy. Jesus himself said, do not store up riches on earth. And I'll tell you, let's look at some more symptoms of this worldly church. And he said to put your riches, yeah, your treasure, in the kingdom of God. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You won't have to go out there and earn them and do all that. God says he'll add them to you. If you what? If you seek first the kingdom of God. Now, beloved, just why don't you be honest with yourself? Are you seeking first God's kingdom? Do you have that sword in your life? Are you practicing biblical Christianity or are you practicing a swordless Christianity? Is your church one of these ear-tickling, man-pleasing, user-friendly, seeker-sensitive, twice-dead, plucked-up-at-the-root ministries? Or is it a church that's on fire for God? Is it a church that's telling you you're going to face the Antichrist, the tribulation, and get ready because many, many people are going to be martyred? Is it a church that's telling you that we're at the end of the age, that the tribulation's coming to get ready to repent? Or are they just making you comfortable in your worldliness? See, you don't have to be out there doing some great, great sin to go to hell. All you have to do is just pursue this world. Pursue your own life, your best life in this world. That's all you got to do. That's all Satan wants from you. Just keep striving after the world's success. Just seek your life. Because the word says whoever seeks to save their life in this world will lose it in eternity. That's what the word says. But it says, whoever loses their life for my sake, the same shall find it. And it also says that straight and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many shall go therein. Now, is the ministry you're involved with, are they trying to broaden that straight path? I tell you, that's what's going on, beloved. What's going on in the swordless Christianity is that these ministries and these false ministers are trying to broaden the straight and narrow path. They're trying to make it wide, like a broad path. They're trying to take that straight and narrow path, and they're trying to make it broad so that everybody can get in. And they are tickling your ears, and they are telling you what you want to hear, and they are man-pleasers tickling your ears, and they are bringing you down a road that leads to the broad path of destruction. And I tell you, there's only one straight and narrow path, and that's the path that Christ walked in. He said those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We're looking at these symptoms. Number four, we looked at number one, two, and three. Worldly, success-driven, carnal, and sensual. Number four, harlot Christianity. Yeah, there's a harlot Christianity. The Word of God says, talks about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, and her harlot daughters. Yeah, there's a harlot Christianity. There's a faithful bride church and an unfaithful harlot church. Which one are you? Now, what am I trying to condemn you? No, I'm trying to tell you, repent and to be that faithful bride. And it says the bride hath made herself ready. Are you making yourself ready for the return of Christ? Do you really realize how close we are to Christ's return, and look how dark it is in this world, and the changes we've seen in just the last 10 years in this world, and just how dark it's getting, and how many signs are being fulfilled, and how close we are to the great tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ? Have you made yourself ready? Are you a bride that has made herself ready? It says the bride has made herself ready. Another scripture talks about that those who were killed during the Great Tribulation, the Christians that were killed, it says they ceased from their labors. They ceased from their labors. Are you laboring for Christ? Man, if you're not doing anything for Christ, let me tell you what your future is. You had one with five talents, one with three talents, one with one. The one with five went out and got five more. Good and well done, thou faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord. The one with three went out and got three more. Good and well done, thou faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. The one with one talent buried it. He didn't do anything with what God gave him. Slothful, wicked servant. That's what the Lord said when he returned. Take that wicked, slothful servant, that lazy bum of a servant, and appoint him a place in outer darkness with the unbeliever. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was rejected based on the fact that the gifts and callings of God, the talents he was given, he did nothing with it. He was lazy, slothful, wicked servant. But it talks about those who have ceased from their labors. Are you laboring for Christ? If you're not, you need to be. Everyone needs to be laboring for Christ. When you look at those who are martyred during the tribulation, it says they ceased from their labors. They were laboring for Christ, each and every one of them. Do you realize each and every one of us have been called to labor for the kingdom of God? If you're not laboring for the kingdom, you're going to end up like that foolish one with the talent who did nothing with what God gave him. And what did God say to him? Did he say, come into my kingdom? You're saved by grace? No, he said, take that wicked, slothful servant and take the talent from him and give it to the one with five and appoint him a place in outer darkness. Do you want to hear those words spoken to you? And I'm here, faithful enough, love you enough to warn you and tell you that while you still have time, repent and get busy serving God. Get right with the Lord while you still have time. Okay, we're going to look at some other things. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, how can we deny God? Well, one way is the television, the altar to Satan, the world, the traditions of men, you know, the gossip and all this, you know, fellowshipping with the world, friends with the world. The Word of God says, whoever's friends with the world is enmity with God, enemy of God. I just quoted a scripture earlier. Either you believe God or you don't. He said, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Do you believe God when he says that? Do you believe that if you deny Christ before men, he will deny you before the Father? He said he will. Now, I'm just here quoting the scriptures. I'm telling you what Christ has said. But you want to attack, if you want to attack me, go ahead. It isn't going to affect me. I'm doing what God called me to do. You know, God's blessed me with a wonderful family. I have a tremendous ministry. We're reaching tens of thousands of people every week. We've got thousands of people every day, new visitors coming on our website. We're reaching people all over the world. We're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I'm blessed. God's blessed me in every area of my life. I'm serving Jesus. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the truth. Now, what is our desire for you? That you would also preach the truth, that you would get busy serving God, that you might be blessed, and that when he returns, you might hear the same words that he spoke to those who had the five talents and the three. Good and well done, thou faithful servant. That's our desire, yeah. You know, now, here, let's look at Jude. He talks about this twice dead situation. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, beloved, you don't want to end up twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now that's a false harlot church system with false leaders that have gone after the way of Cain and pursued money, reward, money. And beloved, we're just about out of time, and I pray that you hear the heart of God for you today. We're not preaching condemnation. We're telling you, if you're in a situation where you're in part of this apostasy, you're friends with the world, you get along with everyone, there's no sword, it's because you're not serving Christ and you're not on fire for God. And you need to get back to your first love. You need to repent of this worldliness. You need to repent of turning back to loving the world. Paul talked about those who had left Christ because they loved this present world. If you're in that situation, there's still time to repent, still time to get back on fire for Christ if you will but turn to him in sincerity, repent of your sin, and live for Christ. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow after him. Beloved, if you want to contact us, our email is info@perilloustimes.com. That's info@perilloustimes.com. And our phone number, 877-711-2906. 877-711-2906. If you'd like to mail an offering, or help us out with airtime, you have a prayer request or anything, you can write us at Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Houlton, H-O-U-L-T-O-N, Maine, M-E, 04730. That's Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Houlton, Maine, 04730. We're just about out of time, so beloved, keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Jesus is coming soon. Remember, in everything you say and do, let the love of God shine through. And beloved, we'll see you next week. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Perilous Times with your host, Martin Banner. Join us at the same time each week to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. If you'd like to listen to archive broadcasts, go to perilloustimes.com and click the radio link. Until next time, remember, in everything you do, let the love of God shine through, and beloved, keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus.